Okay, we're starting from Chet Amud Bet today, six lines from the bottom. It says kibbutz, kayasot, tzedaka. Again, what's that? Maaser and pernas. Okay, so this is a siman for five things that Rabbi Yochanan is going to talk about. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, gadol yom hagshamim ki yom kibbutz galiyot. Okay, and we had this before, gadol yom ki yom shenitna Torah, yom shenivra haolam. Now he says, he's giving a future date. Like the day the kibbutz galiyot will happen, shenemar shuva Hashem et shvitenu ka'afikim banegev, ve'ein afikim ela matar, shenemar v'yera'u afikei yam. So he says the afikim are really the streams. So he says when we refer to the afikei yam, we mean shuva Hashem et shvitenu, like the streams in the Negev. So he says it must be, what are streams in the Negev? They're from the rain. So it must be that we're talking about rain. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, gadol yom hagshamim shafilu gayasot poskot bo, shenemar tlameh harevei nachat gedudeha. Okay, now this means that that even the chayalim, right, when the geshem comes, it makes the chayalim stop. So some people say it's because it makes the water wet and the ground wet and they can't walk so well, but it has the power to even stop armies of people. Okay, tlameha ravei nachat gedudeha. It means that it
true when the Romans sieged the Metzada. There mm-hmm. were seasons when things were flooded and they couldn't go. They had to wait.
It
was
so
a seasonal invasion.
Right. I'll tell you a good example from the Torah, or from the Nevi'im. In Shoftim, it talks about harim nazlu mipnei Hashem. It talks about that the mountains
ran
water. So what happened? They say, you know, the rain, the snow was on the mountain and it melted and it came down and Sisera and all his people and all his arms, drowned in the water that came. So when it says Harim Nazlu Mipnei Hashem, that was the intent. Okay. So Tzulameha Revei Nacha Yudeha. Okay, so the way they're translating Tzulamim are the... And they translated the, like, little hills, I think, right? The
furrows. Again.
Furrows, okay. Furrows.
Aren't furrows lower down?
Right, so furrows are lower down. Revein nachat gedudeha, right? The pshat of this pasuk, again, the pshat of this pasuk is not always so clear. Let me see what they say here. Watering its ridges abundantly, settling down its furrows, right? That they're settled down. It settles down the furrows. That's the pshat. So, but because it says gedudeha, it's taking the gedudim as like a gedud of an army. Okay, and they learn from there that it's talking about an army. Again, it's not the pshat, but that's what they're learning. So, again, we had gadol yom kshamim, like kibbutz galuyot, and now we have the afilu, it stops the chayalim from coming in. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein hagshamim ne'etzarim. Now we're having the other statements that we saw before, that what causes the rain to be stopped. We had gezel, we have all sorts of things. Now we're saying, Ela b'shvil poskeit tzedaka b'rabim. We've learned about these people. These are the people that come up before in the Gemara that they say in public, I'm going to give tzedaka, and then they don't give. Okay? Those are the worst people. Okay? And because of those people, hi, just grab a chair from us. So now what happens? B'shvil poskeit tzedaka b'rabim ve'ein notnim. Shenemar, nisi'im v'ruach v'yeshem ayin, ish metalel b'matat sheker. We saw this before also. Nisi'im are the clouds. There's clouds. There's ruach. There's wind. And there's no rain. It's like you have all the signs that it's about to come, and then it doesn't come. So what are they saying? That's when somebody, right, what happens? You get your hopes up. Right? You're a farmer. You need the rain. You're all excited. You see all the signs of rain, and then it doesn't come. That's what it's like when you promise a poor person you're going to give them money, and then you don't give them money. Okay, so that's, and they learn that from the end of the pasuk, ish mitalel b'matat sheker. Someone who makes himself, right, look good, and he praises himself, right, it's like self-praise, on matat sheker, on saying he's going to give something that was really a lie. Okay, right, the question really here, there's two things. Is it so bad because of his expectations he's setting up for the poor person and then he doesn't give it? Or is it also just indicative of what kind of a person gets up in public and says, I'm gonna do this, right? It's really all about himself and he's just trying to get people to think he's great and think he's, you know, very wealthy, and really it's just all a show. So if you think about it, it's all just a show, right? That's what he's doing. It's the same thing, right? Think of the scene in the sky. The clouds and everything. So it's all ready to go, but it's just a show. And really nothing's going to happen. So either way you look at it, is the question, is it worse because of what it reflects about the person, or is it worse because of what it does to the poor person? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv aser to aser. Here's a very famous drasha. It says, aser to aser. Why does it say it in double lashon? You should bring your ma'asro. But it should just say, right? Bring ma'asro. It doesn't have to say it in double lashon. So what do? They do a play on words here. Aser, right? In the Torah, remember, there's no nikud. So a sin could switch with a shin. Aser b'shvil shetit asher. Okay? Give ma'aser. Now already we're talking about tzedakah, so we're giving some, we're going to have a statement on tzedakah, and then we're going to go off on a story. Aser b'shvil shetit asher. Bring ma'aser. If you give tzedakah, you will become rich. Okay? Clearly they want to indicate here, they want to encourage people to give tzedakah. People feel like, I don't have any money. How can I give tzedakah? So the point is, and we're going to see even more about this as we go on, give tzedakah, and if you give tzedakah, God will reward you that you will become rich. Okay? Which is antithetical to what, right? If I start giving away my money, I'll have less money. The point is God will bless you and you will be rich. We'll hold off on this for a minute because we're going to hear even more about it soon. Eshkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyinuka derish lakish. Rabbi Yochanan sees the child of Rish Lakish. Now, you have to know some history here. Okay? Background. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were very big talmidei chachamim in the first to second generation of Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. There's a very famous story about them, that Rabbi Yochanan was bathing in the water. He was known to be very beautiful, as opposed to, we talked about him the other day, when we had Rabbi Yeshua, who was so ugly, and they said, Torah only comes in an ugly kli, So here, he was very beautiful, and Rish Lakish was a robber and a real bad guy, and he saw Rabbi Yochanan's reflection in the water, and he thought he was a woman, and he dives in after him, and then Rabbi Yochanan sees this power, and he says, wow, kochacha l'Torah, like if you just went and learned Torah, think of all the amazing things that would come out of you. And Rish Lakish basically is chozer b'tshuva, he becomes a big talmid chacham, and the story continues, they become good friends, they learn all the time together. Rabbi Yochanan's still known to be the more more, but really they're in this relationship where they learn together. The story continues, and eventually, they get into a fight about something, and Rabbi Yochanan can't really get past it, and Rish Lakish ends up dying. And it's almost because of Rabbi Yochanan's kaptanun on it, he ends up dying. So that's background is important for the story, and the other important detail for the story is that the sister of Rabbi, what does Rabbi Yochanan promise him? I forgot this part, this is important. He promises him, because he thinks he's so beautiful, he says, if you go learn Torah, I'll marry you off to my sister. Okay? So, this child that he sees, even though you don't really get this in the story, is his nephew. Okay? So, Eshkei Rabbi Yochanan Liyunka, it's even interesting, you'll see by the end of the story, it's even more surprising. If you didn't know it was his nephew, you'd never know it was his nephew. Okay. Eshkei Rabbi Yochanan Liyunka Derish Lakish. Amar le, emali psukecha, tell me what you're learning, right? What pasuk are you up to? Amar le, aser ta aser. So, the kid says, I'm learning aser ta aser. Amar le, umay aser ta aser. What does it mean? And Amar Le, in other words, the kid now says, what can you tell me about this pasuk? Amar Le, Asir b'shvil shetit asher. Okay? He says exactly the drasha we heard. Give tzedakah so you will become rich. Amar Le, menalecha. Where do you learn this from? Amar Le, you can see the kid's a sharp kid, right? He's not willing to just take anything without a real explanation. Amar Le, zil nesei. He says, go try it out. Go try giving tzedakah and see if it works. Okay, so now the smart aleck guy, what does he say? Amar leh, umi sharei l'nesuya l'akadosh baruch hu? How can you test God? Right? V'haktiv lo t'nasu et Hashem. You're not allowed to test God. Amar leh, hachi amar Rabbi Yoshaya, chutz mizo. This is the only place where you're allowed to test God. That's why I want to say, wait, hold off on this. Because not only aser b'shvil shetit aser, but it's a case where we say you're allowed to test God about it. Give tzedakah and see what happens. Will it really make you rich? Very interesting. They took this issue and they said, this is the one. And they learned it from a pasuk, Shene'emar, Haviu, okay, there's a pasuk from Malachi. Haviu et kol ha-ma'aser al beit ha-otzar, v'yihi teref b'beiti u'v'chanuni na bezot, amar Hashem Tzvakot, im lo eftach lachem et arubot ha-shamayim v'arikoti lachem bracha ablidan. He said, bring all your ma'aser, okay, and there will be food in my house, and I beseech to you, God says, if I will not, in other words, I promise you that if you do this, I will open up Arubot HaShamayim and I will give you bracha ablida. I'll give you tons of brachot. So here you see that God is allowing them to test him. He's saying, try it. Bring your maaser and see what happens. See that I'm going to bring down bracha from the Shamayim. So now they say, my ablidai, what is this, drasha? What are these words, ablidai? Why bli? What does the word bli have to do with that? Ablidai means until, right, it's unclear exactly what it is, until you say enough, right? But why the word bli? Amarami bracham, amarav, ad shi yivlu sifto techem ilomar dai. Bli, right, you know this from, if you ever wrote a contract in this country, right, you have to pay in a contract for bli severe, right, who's responsible for wear and tear on the house. Bli is wear and tear, basically. So, Abili dai means until your lips are already worn out from saying die, 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 and you're bringing me so much, it's enough. Okay, that's how much God's going to give us. So now, the kid, who's a real smart aleck, what does he say? Amar le, you can see he got some genes from his father. I havat mate hatam lahai psuka, lo havat strichna lecha ulahoshaya rabcha. If I had gotten to this pasuk on my own, I wouldn't need you and Rabbi Hoshaya to teach me anything, because you're not teaching me anything new. It says explicitly in the pasuk, you know, what would I need you for? I don't know exactly what you make of the fact that he says it disrespectfully to Rabbi Yochanan somewhat, but basically he's saying, maybe it's another way of saying, you could think about it, he's saying, oh wow, that's really clear, I agree. Okay, again, you're going to see that there's a few things that people say. We're going to see a bunch of stories today, and it's unclear how to translate it. Was it lack of respect, or was it dafka respect? In other words, this you could say, either he was saying, what do I need you guys for? I can learn this all myself. Or he was saying, wow, you gave me a proof that was so clear that I wouldn't have even needed you to tell me that. Right? In other words, that you could see it in both ways. Not clear how the story ends. Okay. Okay, we're already talking about stories about Rabbi Yochanan and the son of Rish Lakish. Here's another one. Ivelet Adam Tisalef Darko, Va'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. Avil is from a stupid person, a foolish person. Okay? Foolishness of a person will turn him off the path, Tisalef Darko, Va'al Hashem Yizaf Libo. And then he'll get angry at God. It's a great pasuk, right? It's, you go off the path and then you get angry at God, right? How many times has this happened in your house, right? Somebody does something wrong and then they get angry at you, and right? And, you know, that you're punishing them for it, or that you're upset with them for it. It happens in this house anyway. Okay, so now, what do they say? So he's saying that pasuk. Yativ Rav Yochanan b'kametame. He says, he asks the question, Amar, mi ikamidig diktiva b'ktuve delo remize b'oraita? Could it be, here's this interesting concept. He says, could it be that there's a pasuk in Ketuvim that's not hinted or alluded to at all in the Torah? Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan had this concept that if something appears in Ketuvim, there must be some allusion to it in the Torah. So he says, here's this pasuk, that I don't see any allusion to it in the Torah. So now comes Rish Lakish's son, the smart guy. What does he say? Amar Leh, Atu, Ha lo remise? What do you mean? This isn't, there's no allusion in the Torah? How could you say that? Bahakti, doesn't it say? Vayetzelibam, right? Okay, I'll read the whole pasuk because you'll get the context. Vayomer elachiv, hushav kaspi vihine ba'am tachti, right? We're talking about Yosef's brothers when they brought back the cup. Vayetzelibam, Vayechridu ish alachiv lomar mazot asa Elohim lanu. Okay, when they see the gavia in their bags, they say, oh my God, what did God do to us? What does that mean, what did God do to us, right? What did you do to yourselves? You got yourselves into this situation, but what happened? They got themselves into this bad situation, and then they blame God. Okay, so dal ene. Okay, so here he proves this pasuk to Rabbi Yochanan, and you're right, he proves something that Rabbi Yochanan didn't think of. Dal ene b'chazebe. He lifted up his eyes and he looked at the kid like, you know, probably in amazement. Wow, you're a really smart kid. Okay, now what happens? Atye ime. Okay, now the mother of this Yenuka Derish Lakish, who we know is Rabbi Yochanan's sister, she comes and she sees what's going on. Afikte. Amrele, atye ime afikte. I assume that means she told him. I think that's still part, that's afikte. I assume it means she went out, she told him to go out already, or I don't know.
She took her son away.
She took her son away. Okay. So she took her son away, and then she says to him, Amrele, Tamikame deloli avid lake de avid lavuch. Okay, she says, get out of here. I took you out of there because I didn't want him to do to you what he did to your father. Okay? In other words, because what happened with Rish Lakish? He got upset with him and he was makpid. Now, some versions of the story say that he looked at him, that it was like this look in his face, and that that kind of killed Rish Lakish. So she was nervous when she saw him looking with that look in his eye that he was going to kill the son also. And she said, you know, you've caused me enough pain, which is interesting because it was his sister, right? And she said, we're staying away from you. Okay, interesting. Interesting end of story. Okay. So now, moving on.
But we don't know if this was before Rish Lakish.
I think it's clear here that he was already dead because she says, don't do like what you did. Right, exactly. And she's scared of him. The sister, right? And what you see here is clearly her alliances, right, have moved from her brother to her children. Even though her brother's the one who set up this whole thing, right? Anyway, she's obviously upset with him with the way things went and nervous about, you know, it could be also not, it's unclear whether she's really upset with him or just she realizes he has these intense powers and she's nervous about them and understands, what, you know, that they're dangerous and let's move away from them. What the connection, you know, I don't know. I didn't really think farther about how this connects with things, but okay. Like, again, it could be the power of rain, and there's, you know, there's powers in the world that could be, again, used for good, used for bad. If you think about the whole Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish story, it's the same thing. Kochachal Torah, right? You have a power, use it for good, right? We've been talking back and forth this whole Masechet about how rain could be good, rain could be bad. The winds could be good, they could be bad. Everything in its right time and its right usage. And here, you see also, right, Rabbi Yochanan got Rish Lakish to come learn Torah, right? But in the end, his strength, right, ended up creating conflict that eventually caused Rish Lakish's death, and here she's nervous about what it will do to her son. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Matar b'shvil yachid, parnasa b'shvil rabin. Okay, here's an interesting statement. He says, rain, you can ask for, like, rain will be brought for a particular individual, just for him. Now, obviously, then, it will affect other people, but let's say, I'll just say it in an extreme. What if there's only one good person that's deserving of rain? God will bring rain for that one person, even if it benefits everybody else. But Parnassa, when it comes to Parnassa, then he'll only bring for Rabin. And that God won't throw down a big blessing of Parnassa for one individual that will affect many. He'll only do it for a group of people.
Then why do we personally pray for Parnassa?
Right, so now, so here I think what it's talking about is Parnassa, one second. I think here it means he's not going to bring parnasa for one person that's going to also give parnasa for other people if only one person is worthy. That's, I think, the assumption. Parnasa shefa tavam b'chia l'kol ha'olam. Right, that's his saying. It doesn't come for all of the world because of the zchut of one person. Maybe you'll get for yourself, but you can't have, you know, that's not the kind of thing that's going to come for everybody just because you're worthy.
So not everybody, but rain, everybody benefits.
Parnassah, exactly. Right. So you could say it's just very technical. In other words, rain, if God's going to give rain because one person's worthy, well, it's not going to rain just at his house and not in anyone else's house. Right. It could be more of a mitziut thing, right? A reality thing that it can't happen. Or it could be that that's the way God decided it's going to be. Let's see. Dichtiv, where do we learn it from the Pesukim? Matar b'shvil yachid dichtiv yiftach Hashem l'chat otzoro atov latet mitar artzecha. Right? To bring rain for the whole land. Parnasa b'shvil rabim dichtiv hineni matir lachem lechem. I'm bringing for you lechem. Right? But not for everybody else. Where there it says matar artzecha, the rain for your whole land. Here it's just lechem. When it talks about, it's interesting also, the Pesuk there uses Mamtir, right? I'm going to rain down Parnassa for you, right? Which is like the man, right? That's the pasuk. It's relating to the man. So when God brought the man, right? He wasn't going to bring it just for the schud of one person. He was only going to do it because they were worthy. Meitive. We have a question on this. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, there's a braita, so this raises a question to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Shlosha parnasim tovim amduli Israel. There were three parnasim tovim leaders. Ve'elohem, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. Okay, parnasim meaning also they helped give parnasa to the tzibur. How so? Ve'gimel matanot tovot nitnu al yadam. There were three gifts that were given each by one of those people. Ve'elohem, Be'er, Ve'anan. Uman, okay, the Be'er, the Mayim, that was Miriam, the Anan was Aaron, and the Man was Moshe. How do we know? Be'er b'schut Miriam, Amud Anan b'schut Aaron, Uman b'schut Moshe. Meita Miriam, Nistaleka Be'er, Shenemar, V'tamacha Miriam, Uchti Batre, V'lo haya Mayim Leida, right? The famous, right? She dies, and they have no more water, because it was b'schutat that they were getting the water. B'chazra b'schut Shnehem, but the water came back because Moshe and Aaron were still alive. So they were able to have the schut to bring it back. Mate Aharon, Nistaku Ananea Kavod. Aaron dies and the Ananea Kavod are no longer there. How do we know this? Shneamar, Vayishma Knani Melech Arad. Right after he dies, it says, Vayishma Knani Melech Arad. Mashmu Ashama. We learned this already in Rosh Hashanah, if you remember. Mashmu Ashama. Shama Shemate Aharon, Vinistaku Ananea Kavod. Because Savur, Nitznala Rashutli, Lachem Bi Yisrael. Okay? He heard that Aaron died, and he assumed, and he knew because Aaron died, he had heard that the Ananei Kavod were no longer there, and he said, ah, if they no longer have the Ananei Kavod to protect them, it's a perfect opportunity for me to come and attack them, right? The obvious connection is, why is it immediately after Aaron's death, Vayishma, what did he hear? And then he came and attacked. So he must have heard something that had to do with Aaron's death. Vahainu dichtiv, and then they learned this from another pasuk that we also learned this before. It says there, all the people saw that Aaron died. What does it mean? Why does it have to tell you all the people saw that Aaron died? Amar Rabbi Avau, al tikre vayiru, ela vayiru. Okay? They feared. Not that they saw, but they feared. Okay? What did they fear? Right? How can you say that they fear? What does it mean? They feared ki gava aharon. Okay? So now, what does it mean, ki gava aharon? Kedidarish rish lakish, shamar rish lakish. Ki mishamesh b'arba lishonot. Ki can be used in four different ways. E, im, right? If. Dilma, maybe. Ela, but. And deha is shaharei, that. Okay? That it is. So, we learned this whole section. So now, what did they say? It was in Rosh Hashanah Daf Gimel. So what did they say? That they feared, the people feared, since Aharon died. That's what it means, right? Since he died, they feared, because the Ananei Kavod were no longer there. Okay, so now, what happened? Ela deha. Now, here's the important part. What did we say until now? Parnasa cannot come through the schut of one person. So now, what do we see? Ela deha chazru shneihem b'schut Moshe. So now, the Anan had left, the Be'er, the Mayim had left, but, right, the Mayim had left, but b'schut Aharon and Moshe came back. Aaron dies, Ananei Kavod go, and Kanir also, it seems, also the Be'er left once Aaron died, but then it all came back, Bizchut Moshe. Meit Moshe, Nistalku Kulam. But as soon as Moshe died, it was all gone. Shneamar, how do you know this? Ba'akhir et shloshet haru'im b'yerech echad. There's a pasuk that says, I'm going to destroy the three leaders in 1 month. Now, what's the issue? There's no three leaders that all lived at the same time and overlapped, that they could all die at the same time. The only three leaders possible that lived in the same time and overlapped were Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. And therefore, they assume this pasuk is a reference, and it's not, because the pshat there, it's a pasuk in Zechariah, it has to do with something going on then. But here, the idea being that these shlosha ro'im, it must be a reference to Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. And then, what does it mean, b'yerech achav? V'chi b'yerech achav meitu? Did they all die in 1 month? No. Hello, Miriam meita b'nisan, v'aron b'av, u'moshe b'adar. So how could that be? So what does it teach you? Ela melamed shenitbatlu gimel matanot tovot shenitnu al yadan, v'nistaku kulam b'yerech achav. That proves that all the things were brought back, and then they all were disappeared when Moshe died. All those three presents left, all in the same month. So it's a reference. They didn't, all three people didn't die in 1 month, but the gifts that they brought to the Bnei Israel all got destroyed in 1 month at Moshe's death. So what do you see? One person can keep the blessing of food going, right? B'schut Moshe, all of the people got fed. So what's going to be the perfect answer? Okay. Right? Is this what you thought about when we talked about B'schut one person? So what do they say? Right, first the Gemara says, Alma Eshkachan Parnasah B'Shvil Yachid. What do you see here? Parnasah could come B'Shvil Yachid. Shane Moshe, Kevan Delirabim Hu Bai Kirabim Dami. Because he asked on behalf of the people, it wasn't like Moshe was saying, I want Parnasah for myself. Till now we said, right, if someone prayed, I want rain for me, and it will rain on other people too, B'Shkuto. But here we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't asking for himself. He was asking for everybody. He was a leader. He was a representative of all the people. So for him, it's not like b'schut one person. It's he is a nation, basically. He's considered the Rabbim, because he was in charge of the Rabbim, and he was asking for Rabbim. That's different. That's saying, you know, he was asking on behalf of the people, and asking on behalf of all their zchuyot that God give the man. So when he died, it's true, it all kind of fell apart, but the real thing being that he is like Rabbim, and that's their answer. Okay, so the question is really, what do you mean that parnasah b'shvil yachid? Is it b'shvil yachid because he asked for himself, and then everyone else benefits? Or is it parnasah, right? Or is it, did it really mean, and the Gemara just answers, even though it's not a great answer then, that even if one person has the zchuyot, right, it reminds you a little bit of stone. Right, when Avram says, save stone b'zchut one person, right? Mm-hmm. Can one person have the power, because he's so great, to save everybody else? But the Gemara's answer certainly seems to indicate that's not what they're talking about. But sometimes the Gemara just answers something because they have no better answer, right? They're stuck in a corner and they try to answer it up. Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chia mi Vastina, habushchicha kameh derava. Okay, here we got some good stories coming. Mm. Okay, these rabbis would always go learn in front of Rava. When Rava died, after the kamei Rav Papa, they went, okay, the rabbi dies, they go learn with the next rabbi, Rav Papa. Kol ema dahava amr lehu shmata, v'lo hava mistabra lehu, hayu meramze ahadade. Every time he would say something, and they didn't really like his, right, it's hard to switch rabbis. You're used to someone, you get used to their style, you get used to their psakim, all of a sudden they go to this other rabbi, they don't always like what he has to say. So they start being mirameza hadade. They look at each other, right? They give each other these looks like, oh no, he's saying something again, right? You can imagine. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting there. Now, you think he doesn't see this? Of course he sees this. Chalash date. Okay, he gets very upset about this. Akruya bechelme, he's in a dream. He has a dream, and in the dream, they're reading to him this pasuk. What's the pasuk? Ba'achid et shloshet haro'im. What does that mean? I'm going to destroy the three leaders. What does he see in his dream? These three guys are going to die for the pain that they caused him, right? He was obviously pained by this, and he sees in a dream that these three guys are going to die. Here's where I said, it's not so clear the ending now, okay? The ending has, it's two possible endings, okay? It's like the mystery of Edwin Drood, you know, you can end it how you like. So you can translate this as you like. Lemachar, can you have let's put it this way. It either has a good ending or a bad ending, unclear. And it also reflects on Rav Papa, maybe positively or negatively, you could say, I don't know. Lemachar ki ava miptere mine, when they say goodbye to him the next day, amar lehu lizlo rabbanan bishlama. Okay, go in peace. Okay, now, anyone who remembers, we learned in Brachot, the difference between go in peace and go to peace. If you say to someone, go to peace, it means you're saying they're going to live. If you say to someone who's going to die, you say lech bishalom. Go in peace.
This is discussed it much more recently than Brachot.
Oh, really? I thought it was in Brachot. No, maybe. Yeah, no, it says actually here in Brachot.
Maybe it just come up again as a discussion.
Maybe.
We had it within the past few weeks.
So, anyway, so some people say, what does this mean? He said to them, go in peace, meaning you're going to die. Okay, you're going to your death. Some people say no. It means that he said to them, go and don't come back. In other words, go in peace so you live. In other words, I want you to live, so don't come back to me. Because if you continue to learn with me, you're going to get me more angry, and then you're going to die. So wow. Now he was trying to save them from death, or he was kind of sending them to their death, or maybe not sending them to their death, but knew they were going to die, and therefore blessed them with the blessing, you have blessed someone who's going to die. Anyway, it's an interesting story, and we're going to see something similar. Rav Shimi bar Ashi have a shachiach kameh de Rav Papa. Okay, another story with Rav Papa. He would often go before Rav Papa. You could see Rav Papa maybe had a little lack of self-confidence, maybe you could say.
Persecution complex.
Right. Have a makshe leituba. He asked him a lot of hard questions. Okay? Yom achad chazer denafel alape. One day, Rav Shimi bar Ashi saw Rav Papa bowing down. Shameh, and he heard him, de amar, he was saying, Rachmana litzla mikisufa de Shimi. God should save me from the difficulties that Shimi is causing me. Okay, the kisufa is embarrassment. Okay, he should save me from the embarrassment, because what's happening? He's asking me these tough questions. I can't answer them in class. It's totally embarrassing me. So, kabil ale shtikuta. What happened? Shimi heard this, and he realized what he was doing to Rav Papa, and he decided, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to stop asking questions. Okay, interesting ending also. Betulo akshele, and he stopped asking him questions. Okay. Your term is there, who lo ikshe'alav.
Okay. This here challenged him.
Right.
Maybe that's better.
Right. Well, that's what was going on. He kept asking him these tough questions. Yeah. Right. It's not like he didn't talk to him. He just stopped asking these tough questions that were stumping him. And, yeah. Okay. Va'af Rish Lakish Savar. Okay, now we're going back. Done with the stories here, although we're going to have some more stories. Rish Lakish also said, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Matar B'Shvil Yachid. Da'amar Rish Lakish, Minayin L'Matar B'Shvil Yachid. God will bring rain for an individual. Dichtiv Sha'alume Hashem Matar Be'et Makosh. Hashem Oseh Chazizim U'Matar Geshem Yitein Lehem Li'ish Esev Basadeh. Okay, ask God for rain in the time of the Malkosh, right? That's the last rains. Hashem will make, I think Chazizim are clouds, right? Mm-hmm. Clouds and rain. And Geshem Yitein Lehem, he will bring rain to who? Here's the drasha. Li'ish Esev Basadeh, to a person who's the grass of the fields. Okay, I don't know the exact pshat of this pasuk, but we're going to darshan those words. Yachol lakol, you would say maybe God is giving to everybody. Talmud lomar le'ish. You know, it could be God will only give for everybody. No, but what does it say in the pasuk? Ish, God will give for one person. V'tanya I le'ish, yachol lechol stotav. Maybe if an ish is asking, right, what's the idea? God will bring rain to everybody just for this one person. So they say, maybe it's only if this one person asks for all of his fields. And it has to be a big request for God to bring rain for everybody. Okay? So then they say, no, Talmud Lomar, it says in the Pasuk, Sadeh, even if he asks for one field, I need rain. I don't need rain for all my other fields. I just need for this field. And then they say, Is Sadeh, fine. Maybe you'll say, okay, if one person asks for his Sadeh, I'll give for everybody. Yachol Lekola Sadeh. Maybe, though, it has to be that he asks for an entire field. Talmud Lomar. Talmud Lomar Esef. What does it say? Le'ish Esef Basadeh. Even if he asks for one piece of grass, I need rain on this one little piece of grass, even for that one little request, if this person's worthy, he can be Mizakeh everybody for rain. Okay? And that's what you learn from that pasuk. Ki had Rav Daniel Bar Katina, Hava Le'ahu Ginata. There was a guy, Rav Daniel Bar Katina, he had a Gina. Kol Yoma Hava Azav Asir. V'sierla. He would go around every day and check it. Amar, ha mishra bayamaya, v'ha mishra lo bayamaya. This one needs water, this one doesn't need water. V'at ha mitra b'kamashke, kol hechadim b'bay le'maya. And the rain came and gave water in all the places where it needed water. Okay, so here you see that you can ask for rain and get it even for particular requests. May Hashem oseh chazizim. What do we learn from this? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Abu Rabbi Chanina, melamed shekol tzadik v'tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh lo chaziz b'fnei atzmo. God makes each person his own cloud. Okay? And for every tzadik. For every tzadik, there's like a little cloud for him. Okay? There's these big clouds, and then there's smaller clouds underneath, and every tzadik has his own cloud. My chazizim, Amar Rabbi Yehuda porchot. Chazizim are these porchot, that means that there's, like I said, there's big clouds, and then there's little ones that come underneath, and because they're small, right, they say they're individual clouds. Each tzaddik has his own individual cloud in Shamayim that's going to bring the rain for him. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Siman Lamatar Porchot. Okay, remember we started off the shiur with that case of Nisi'im, Veruach, V'geshem Ayin. There's all the Simanim of rain and then it doesn't come. Mm-hmm. So here we're going to see something like that also. He says, Siman Lamatar is Porchot. If you see these little clouds, that's a Siman that rain is going to come. My Porchot, Amar Rav Papa, Iba klisha, tute iba smichta. It's those little clouds underneath the big, thick clouds. Amar of Yehuda, nihila makame mitra, ate mitra. If you see the clouds before the rain, you know that the rain is coming. Batar mitra, pasik mitra. If you see them after the rain, you know that the rain is going to stop. Okay, it depends when you see them. Mekame mitra, ate mitra, v'simanach, and the siman is mehuta debatar mitra, pasik mitra. Oh, wait, sorry. V'simanach mehulta. I don't remember what this is. One second. Sieve. Oh, right. It's a sieve. Okay? A sieve, what happens? A sieve, when you first start... Sorry, I translated this wrong. Nehila is the light rains, right? It's not the cloud. Nehila is the light rains. Kimokimta nehila shi dakag shamim. Yes, sorry. The nehila is a light rain. If there's a drizzle before the rain, you know that the rain is coming. There's a drizzle after rain, you know that the rain is going to stop. So now they say, before the rain, the siman is mehulta, is a sieve. What happens with a sieve? First the little pieces come out, and then the bigger pieces. After the rain, okay, the simanech is charya de'ize, it is very unpleasant. It's the dung of the goats. first they come out big chunks, and then they come out little chunks. Okay? What I did notice is that the Aruch, which is the first dictionary, Aramaic dictionary from the 11th century, from around there, from the 11th century, he writes, it's nacharya, it's a different word, it's dadya de'iza, it's the where the milk comes out of, the dadim. And it's the milk comes out first a lot, and then it trickles to a drizzle. Right? So that's why he's saying like that. Okay. Ula ikla le Bavel. Ula comes to Bavel. Now remember, Ula used to go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He comes from Eretz Yisrael. He gets to Bavel. Chazapur chod. He sees these clouds that are indicators of rain. Amar lehu panu mane dahash ta'ate mitra. Okay, clear away all your kelim because the rain is coming. Lisaf lo ate mitra. Okay, in the end, the rain didn't come. So first of all, imagine him in this situation. What are you thinking? Right? He looks like an idiot, right? He told everyone, go gather your stuff inside. He's this big rabbi. He tells everybody what to do. And he looks like an idiot because it didn't come. What does he say? Amar. Now, I just background to the story. We've talked about this before. There was a lot of tension between the Bavlim and Eretz Yisraelim. And sometimes we see these sugya. We're going to actually, some of the sugya, not the beginning, but the second part of it repeats the sugya we saw before about the Bavlim, the Eretz Yisraelim insulting the Bavlim. Okay, so what does he say? Just like the Bavlim lie, their clouds also lie. Okay? Because their clouds kind of indicated that the rain was coming, and they lied, right? It's clearly the clouds' fault. And it also affects how we see the Bavlim. Ula ikla le Bavel. Ula then comes to Bavel, and another story about him. Chaze male tzana de tamar. I think you're going to remember this. He sees, this is from Psachim. Okay, those of you who learn Psachim with us. He sees a big jar full of tamarim. Oh, sorry. Male tzana de tamar bezuza. He sees that they're selling tamarim dates for a really cheap price. You could get a huge thing of tamarim for one zuz. Amar male tzana de duvsha bezuza ubavle lo askei ba'oraita. Lo askei ba'oraita. He says, food is so plentiful here, and still the Bavlim are not learning Torah. I'm sure anyone who learned this will remember this, right? Because he says, how could you have so much plentiful food, meaning you don't have to go out and work so much? It's life is so easy for you, right? We talked about this as you compare to the way Israelis talk about Americans, right? Life is so good there. Mm. Everything's so easy, right? Clearly, anyone listening in America, I'm sure will agree. Okay, but the Bavlim are still not learning any Torah. How could that be? Belil yatzaruhu. So he obviously bought a lot of dates and ate them, and he got very sick. He got diarrhea, okay? He was very sick to his stomach. Amar maletzana de sakina bezuza ubavle aske boraita. And he realizes his insults were misplaced, and he says, I can't believe that they have all this food that makes them sick, right? It's dangerous to live here, and bechol ofen, they're sitting learning Torah. Right? So what do you see here? First of all, you see that it wasn't that the Bavlim weren't learning Torah. It was his perspective on it, right? You say, how could it be that things are so good and not everybody's learning Torah? But then his whole perspective switched. This happened to him, and he realized, obviously my issues are misplaced. And maybe he also saw it as a bit of a punishment that he got sick from it after he made that comment. Right? How often do you have it where you say something and then you regret saying it later? And he realized, wow, you know, and then he rethinks the whole thing, and he realizes, wow, maybe I shouldn't have said they have life so easy, and it's actually not so easy here. And still you see there are people learning Torah, and that's a big spook, that b'chol's out there learning Torah. So it's an interesting story. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer, kol olam kulo mimei ukianos hu shoteh. Now there's a whole machloket about where the rain comes from. Okay? Shene'emar ve'ed ya'alem en aretz v'ishkat kol p'nei ha'adama. Okay? They learn it from this pasuk in Breshi, where it talks about the ed ya'alem en aretz. Okay, how does he translate it? Vishkat kol p'nei adamah. It comes from the ground. The rain, okay, this is actually, if you look it up, right, you find that the modern belief is that rain, most of the belief is that, right, rain comes from these vapors. And the vapors, right, that's ed yalem en haaretz. The vapors, for the most part, come from the oceans, right, from the water that exists. They come from other places too, but mostly from there. And according to this interpretation, it comes from, right, the water evaporates, goes up to the clouds, and then comes down in the form of rain. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua v'alo mimei ukianos meluchim hem. But wait, that's salt water, and rain isn't salt water. Amar le mimatzkin ba'avim. They sweeten up in the clouds, and then they come down sweet. Rabbi Yeshua omer, here's a different opinion. Kol ha'olam kulo mimayim ha'elyonim hu shoteh. The water comes from up above, right? You can see they were discussing scientific matters, mm-hmm. Right? Where does the rain come from? See, he says, no, it comes from the sky. Shene'emar lematar ha'shamayim tishte mayim. Okay, calls the matar ha'shamayim, it says. So how do I explain that? Melamed she'ananim mitgabrim ve'olim l'rakia. Okay, what goes up from the aretz? It's that the ananim go, they get full and they go up to the sky, and then potchim piem kinod, they open like a, what's the word node? It's a like a, not a canteen, but like some like a canteen, like
water
a
skin.
Jug, a water, okay, a what?
It says water skin.
Water skin, okay. It was like a jug that they used to carry drinks in. So it opens up like
leather,
that.
Leather.
Right, made out of leather. We saw some pictures of it in the past. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember the exact word that we called it. The umikabli me matar. And they get full of the rainwater from the sky. Shneamar yaziku, I think it's yaziku, right? Yazoku matar le'edo. Okay. Umenukavot hen kikvara. And they have holes like a sieve. Ubaot umachar mecharshot mayim al gabe karka. Okay, and then they let down the water on the ground. Shenemar chashrat mayim avesh chakim. Okay, that they let out the water. Ve'ein bein tipa letipa ela kimeloni ma. Okay, there's no difference between each drop except for I don't know how exactly to translate that one. Second, ela kimeloni ma. Second. Right. In other words, the point is that each one comes down individually, even though there's really not much of a difference between each drop. Okay, and what do you learn from here? In other words, the miracle of rain is like the miracle of Maaseh Bereishit. It's amazing how it works. Okay, that's what they're saying here. Shneamar oseg dolot arein cheker uchtiv anotem matar al pnei aretz uchtiv lahalan. Okay, it says he does great things without anyone I think without being able, people to really understand it. Uchtiv anotem matar al pnei aretz uchtiv lahalan halo yadata im lo shamata Elohe olam Hashem ein cheker l'tfunato uchtiv mechin harim bekocho v'chule. We saw this before where they connect Cheker to the rain, and they connect Cheker to Briat HaOlam. So they say that it's just like Briat HaOlam. Okay, last thing. Keman az lahadachtiv mashkeh harim me'aliotav. He brings down the rain from up above, right? So who is this according to? V'amaru Yochanan me'aliotav shal kadosh baruch hu. Keman kerabbi Yoshua, right? This now they're trying to discuss these two different opinions. This is like Rabbi Yoshua because it's saying the rain comes from above, right? There's this big machloket. Does it come from under the ground or does it come from up above? And then they say, Rabbi Lezer, what does he do with that pasuk? Because he says it comes from the ground. Kevan disalke lahatam. First it, right, it goes from below and then it's mashkem eliotav kare lehu. And since it eventually goes up to there, so they call it that it's coming from the sky, even though really it comes from the ground, goes up to the sky, and then it's called, when it comes down, it's coming down from the sky. There's this concept of avak va'afar min hashamayim. So what must be, right? The things start from down, they go up, the avak, and right, clearly come from down below. Since it eventually ends up there, min hashamayim karile, it calls them out upon that. Hachinami disalke lahatam. So therefore, the clouds also, when they go up there, they then come down. Okay, there's going to be a bit more of a discussion about who different opinions go by, right? Different statements and how they fit in with this big machloket. And you can see that clearly there was this whole issue, does it come from above? Does it come from below? And, you know, what you make of that machloket, I don't know exactly. Was it just merely a scientific thing? And that they were arguing over science, right? And they didn't really know about how it did. Or maybe there's something more behind it, like Shamayim, Aretz, right, and what's key here?